We're going to look at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. Tonight's passage, at least in part, is often used at funerals. The whole concept or the idea of life, your life as a vapor. The older you get, the more you are aware of the truth of that statement. Life is molasses in January when you're 15 and waiting for that driver's license, or when you're a freshman and waiting to graduate from high school. But I want to tell you, life is a vapor when you're 63 and you're looking back at things that seem like yesterday and you realize it was 40 or 50 years ago. And I'm not kidding. Truly, those things happen. I realize life is a vapor when your grandson is 13 and 3 inches taller so far than I am. And when I think about all the hoopla that went on associated with the coming of the year 2000, and I know many of you remember that, some of you don't because you weren't born yet. But for those of you who remember the year 2000, I want you to hear this little bit of information. Every child, every student in the high school right now was born after that. After the year 2000. Can you imagine how quickly time has gone? And there's a lot more to the passage we're going to look at tonight than just the vapor statement. The topic heading in my Bible says, do not boast about tomorrow. And we're told in many scriptures that we should boast about nothing except Christ. And yet we often boast about other things. And Jesus told a parable back in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21, which I'm not going to read. You'll be familiar with it, I think. There was a certain rich man who was pretty impressed with himself because he had so many crops, he didn't have room to store them all. And what I always thought was a pretty foolish decision, he decided to tear down his old barns and build bigger ones. And I always thought he should have used the old ones first and then built new ones. But, you know, the whole idea was he wanted to take care. He was proud of the possessions he had. I think we tear things down too many times. I drive up and down this road every day, and it seems like almost every day somebody's tearing something down to put up something new and bigger. Anyway, he said that after he built the barns, then he could sit back and eat, drink, and be merry in the knowledge that he had all these great possessions. And the Lord said to him, "You fool, this night your soul is required of you. Then whose will all those things be that you have accumulated?" He boasted about a tomorrow that he wasn't going to see. So we're going to take a look at James's take on this in James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17 for tonight. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. And it reads like this. "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin." Let's pray. Father, just thank you for this night. It's been such an incredible blessing already, and I thank you, Lord, for this opportunity we have each Sunday night to get to know somebody on a spiritual level. And I just thank you for Donna's honesty. I just continue to pray for her. Thank you for Lena's song. Lord, it was just beautiful and fit right in with what we've heard already. Right now, Lord, I pray that you help each one of us to recognize truly that our lives are a vapor, that we're not promised tomorrow. I say that a lot, but it's true. And I just pray, God, that you help us all to recognize that we have things to be doing that we need to get about the business of doing. And I just pray, Lord, that you'd show us what that is for each one of us. And I pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you know that I'm a planner, and I like to think that I'm organized, and you might think that I'm organized until that moment that you step into my office and look at the desk. And you'll think, wow, he's not very organized at all. It's a mess. And it is. But it's my mess, you know. But I used to carry around a physical planner, a little book, in which I wrote down all my appointments and all my visits and all my mileage and the different things like that. Now I use Google Calendar, and it sends me a reminder on my phone, sometimes at inopportune moments. I just got one a little bit ago that says the Missouri Baptist Convention is tomorrow. Well, I've planned that. I know that it is, and I told you ahead of time I'm going to be gone Monday, I'm going to be gone Wednesday, so that you know, everybody knows, and I don't think there's anything wrong with planning, with being prepared. As a teacher, and like Donna, I had to plan lessons. They're going to last 30 to 50 minutes and that type of thing. And you had to plan ahead. You couldn't just waltz in there and, off the cuff, that kind of thing. But the primary focus of verse 13 is not trying to condemn being prepared. It's to illustrate that plans that are made apart from God are worthless. One of the things that I read in preparation for the message was to ask you and me to think about this. If you've ever bought a house or a car, and almost everyone has, or if you've ever bought a 72-inch flat-screen TV or some other major purchase like this, did you pray about it before you made the purchase? And that's an example, I think, of how we make plans without including God. Now, I don't know that that means you got to pray over every little purchase, but we'll get to that in a minute. This past summer, I was in the market for a pickup, and I had it all laid out. I did not want a four-wheel drive because last year I used my four-wheel drive one time, and I hope that I never, ever have to use it this year. But I didn't want an automatic because I get better mileage with the manual. And I found the perfect pickup about a half dozen times on Craigslist, but every single time I'd call them, it's gone. I'd call them, it's gone. And I just finally, after all these failures, I thought, maybe I ought to pray about this. And that's the way we do things. I don't know if you're like that or not, but we charge right in and try to do things our way. And then we think, I should have prayed about this. And I did pray about it. And I got led back to a pickup that I'd rejected before because it was green. And, anyway, it's the one that I needed to have. And I'm very happy with it. I used to have students that would tell me, as they were getting ready to graduate, they'd like to be a doctor or they'd like to be a teacher or they'd like to be a veterinarian or whatever else. But then they'd say, but I don't want to spend that much more time in school. And I can't tell you how many times I heard that from how many kids. And I would always ask them this. How long would it take you to get through school? 4 years, 8 years, whatever they'd say. And I'd say, how old would you be at the end of that 4 years? 22. And I'd say, how old are you going to be in 4 years if you don't go to school? 22. And the point that I tried to make to them is that time is going to pass, whether you go to school or whether you go work at Trenton Foods or whatever you do, time is going to pass. And I got to tell you, it'll go a lot more slowly at Trenton Foods, just from personal experience. Those are the longest 3 months of my life. But anyway, the passage begins, come now, you who say, and this is addressed to people whose focus is tomorrow, whose emphasis is gaining wealth. Our emphasis should be on doing the things that God has called us to do and to recognize this, which is kind of the theme throughout this, that there may not be a tomorrow. Okay, I got ahead of myself here because I looked away, so I got to get back to where I was. Any plan that we make, it has to include God. We've got to think of God in all things that we do. Now, verse 14 says, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I've used this particular illustration before, but it's been quite a while, so maybe you've forgotten, maybe you've never heard it. But when Ramona and I first got together, when I first came into her family, I was 26. Her mother was 46. And Colleen's mother, it would have made such a better story if she was 66, but she was 67. So 26, 46, 67 is what we were. Today, I'm getting close to having passed Grandma Cable, It just amazes me how much time has passed and how quickly it's gone. And all of that, just to show you that time passes quickly. So when we say, we're going to do this and that tomorrow, we need to focus instead of what does God want me to do right now, today? Verse 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And I've heard people say that praying for something like healing, for example, in a loved one's life, and then adding, if it be thy will, Lord, that's kind of a cop-out. Because we're saying, God, bring healing to my loved one, if it's your will. And then that way we've got an out if healing doesn't come on this side of heaven. I don't really think that's true. I don't think it's a cop-out at all. I think every prayer we pray, we should be seeking the Lord's will. And for example, someday there's going to be a major structure over there on the east side of this building. When's it going to happen? I don't know. But I do know this. It must not be done in my will or your will. It's got to be done in God's will. So when we pray for the building, pray that God's will be done. When we pray for a purchase that we're contemplating, pray for God's will, not our own, in all things. And I really believe this. If we wake up tomorrow, God's got a purpose for us. It's God's will that we would still be here, if we're still here. And for each one of us sitting here, for everybody in the world, there's going to be a night when we go to sleep on earth for the last time. And if that doesn't impact you, try this. There's a person out there that you have probably been impressed upon that there's something you need to do. Go visit them. Go call them. Do like Donna was talking about. Reach out to people who are hurting. And there's somebody on your heart. This could be the last night that they have as well. We need to get busy doing what God calls us to do, whether it's going to visit somebody or calling somebody up or actually doing something that God's called you. We had Stephanie here this morning talking about missions. And I have no desire to ever live in some foreign land as a missionary. I like going there for a short time, but I got to tell you, if I'd have gone over to Indonesia in January and thought I'm not coming back for a year, I don't think I could have done it, you know. But on the other hand, there's things that I am called to do right here in this place. Well, verse 16, but now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. There's a verse that I share on a few occasions when somebody, and I'm guilty of it too, but sometimes some people just almost break their arms, patting themselves on the back, you know. Proverbs 27:2 is the verse that I like to use. It says, let another man praise you, not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. If you have to tell somebody how smart or how talented or how good you are at something, you're probably not all that smart or talented or good at it. If you got to tell them, if you got to call attention to it, probably, well, that's just kind of the way it is. We need humility also in this world. James spent four chapters so far, and we've spent several months so far going through the book of James, and he's talked about expressing joy when we go through trials. That's one of the hardest things I can think of to be called upon to do. He's talked about finding glory in humility. He's talked about being a doer and not a hearer only. We've been told we shouldn't show favoritism or partiality because that indicates that we value some lives more than other lives. We've been told to watch our tongues. We've been told not to be prideful. We've been told not to judge our brothers. And it's in this context that he says, don't boast. Don't brag about things because it's evil. Humility means nothing if we have to tell people how humble we are. Let that soak in for a minute. Because if we have to tell people how humble we are. I made a big deal a couple years ago, Ron. One of the wisest guys I've ever known is Ron Smith. And I made a big deal about saying, I'm not going to complain about winter this year. And every week I said, I'm not going to complain about winter this year. And Ron said, you might as well complain about it, you know. And I get, if you have to tell people the trials that you're going through, sometimes it negates what you're trying to do. Boasting is arrogant and it's evil, we're told in Scripture. Here comes the most convicting part of all for me, verse 17. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. More times than I care to relate, God has impressed upon me the name of somebody that I should go see. And I have distinct memories of two of them that I want to share with you. Both of them took place at a nursing home. Both of them are identical. I went to see this person, and as I was there with that person, I walked through the halls and I saw that person. And I thought, I ought to go talk to that person. But it's almost 7:30. I don't have time. I'll come back tomorrow. In both of those cases, they died that day. Unexpectedly. I mean, it wasn't like they were really on their deathbed, but I didn't know that, and I missed my opportunity to share or to visit or to just brighten the day of somebody because I was in a hurry. To him who knows to do good and does not do it. It's not just, whoops, it's a sin. It's a sin. I knew I should do good by stopping by to say hello, but I didn't. Well, does that mean that it's if you don't know to do good, it's not a sin? Well, I don't know. For people who don't know to do good, they got enough problems of their own, you know. But for those of us who know that God has called us to do good and we walk away from it, it's sin. And that's convicting for me. If we see a need, fellow believers, and we have the means to help, if we know we're supposed to do good and we choose not to do so, it is sin. It's not necessarily a sin, like I said, for somebody who doesn't know better. But when you know, for example, that somebody needs a word of encouragement and you withhold it, it's sin. If you know somebody that has done something wrong against you and you need to forgive them and you say, well, not till he says something to me, I'm not going to do that, it's a sin. When you know that somebody who needs the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you choose to keep it to yourself, it's a sin. It'd be just like if we knew the cure for cancer, or the cure for diabetes, or the cure for anything else that's a horrifying disease, and we said, well, I'm just going to keep it to myself. The same thing applies to those of us who know the gospel, who know the love and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we decide to keep it. Keep it within these four walls. If they want to know, they'll come. It's a sin. Life is a vapor. And I know, young people, I know you hear this from us old geezers all the time. But it's the truth. Time goes. That wasn't very good. Anyway, it goes in a snap. It's a vapor. And before you even begin to know it, parents, your kids will be grown and gone. Kids, you'll have kids of your own. And all the troubles that you've caused your parents, guess what? It's coming back to you. I pray that that never happens for you. But the thing of it is, life is short. As long as it may look like it's been, it's short. And we've got things to do. I pray that I get about the business of doing what I'm called to do, and I pray the same for each of you. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for the truths that we find in it. I thank you, God, that you've told us here. We need not be concerned about any wealth or any great thing that we're going to get done tomorrow. We need to be concerned about what you would have us to do today. And Lord, I pray that this 17th verse becomes another life verse for so many of us, Lord. If we know to do good and we choose not to do it, God, it's an affront to you. It's a direct, we just truly are rebelling against you, Lord, when we choose not to do that. God, I know that we're called to do good. And I just appreciate so much the verse from Isaiah 61 that talks about beauty coming from ashes. Lord, I pray that because of the things that you call upon us to do in love for other people, that beauty will come from the ashes. Thank you, Jesus, for your love for us, and I pray this in your name. Amen.